Good morning. You're listening to Sharp Elbows, and this is State Rep Francesca Hong. We are back with Kristen Bry of Asgos, Wisconsin. And we're going to do a little bit of a legislative update here, Kristen, and then I would love for you to kind of weigh in on a video that you posted the other day about cookie cutter legislation, because we know that there's been some, I hope I'm using this word correctly, malarkey coming out of the assembly these days. My colleagues have introduced a series of legislation that we're not hearing or seeing double on this, reflects a lot of legislation that's been coming out of other states as well. This includes voter suppression bills, anti-trans legislation. I'm still kind of baffled that there have been multiple resolutions in honoring a certain Mr. Limbaugh. But if their complacency couldn't go any further in terms of obstructing government and implementing policies that actually helps people, now there's a coordinated effort to do that. And it's wild that the laziness has gone so far as it's literally like, we're going to be pumping this stuff out and y'all just like apply it to your jobs how you see fit in the moment. Can you talk a little bit more about what's happening with that cookie cutter legislation, so it's and what actually you found not, out about it?
Yeah, so it's actually not new. This is a video I actually did for Up North News. And it was based on one of the written articles that Christina Lefferling, I think I pronounced her name right, had written. And hers kind of went into a little bit deeper, like, what is ALEC? And So I had started down the road of trying to make a video that was going to explain what ALEC was. And then I came across this, it was a joint investigation between USA Today, the Arizona Republic, and the Center for Public Integrity. And it was produced in 2019. And basically they, with like the powers of computers, they took millions like of documents and like early, like it's like hundreds of thousands of bills and stuff. But basically they compared the language that was written in all these bills, specifically in state houses. And they basically found that between 2010 and 2019, there was over 10,000 bills that got introduced across the nation that were basically like model legislation. Basically, it was the same bill basically introduced into all these state houses, and 2,000 of those became laws. And so that was a report was produced 2 years ago, but it's still happening. And basically what the process is it's a special interest group. It's industry groups, it's a conservative think tank, it's sometimes it's also progressive, like it's basically these policy corporations, whatever, like someone who has an interest not only in influencing
like a manufacturer.
So it's like, and it's not just like a bill gets proposed and they have an input on it. They're literally writing the bill. And then they're peddling it to different lawmakers at state houses. And what I read was basically the reason this shift has happened from the lobbying to US congressmen and senators is because it's so deadlocked there, is that if they go to a state house that has a majority, and that can be, you end up seeing in the report, the states that have a wild majority, either left or right, are the states that are the worst offenders. And so basically those groups, if they go through the state, they can push it through faster because that's just how it's working. And it's still happening, obviously. And I think like you, the ones that you listed off, as we learned, like over 24 of the lawmakers who introduced anti-trans bills across the country could not, including Wisconsin, could not cite a single case of this being a problem of trans girls joining a girls sports team and ruining cis girls, or I'm going to use the wrong term, but like ruining girls' chances at scholarships or records or all of these like scary things that they were proposing. And it's like, it's just not happening. And so like, I tried to take the angle with the video is like, your job, your colleagues' jobs, you get elected by your constituents to represent your district and propose legislation that fixes actual problems that your constituents are having. And instead we're having this like top-down bills that written by people who don't even live here. And so I thought that was really interesting. And so
it's horrifying to the fact that, like, I don't know if you saw the interview with the governor of Virginia, but that was exactly what happened. He could not name a single instance where, you know, a trans individual had taken an opportunity from a cisgendered individual. Actually, when you think about it, a lot of what happens is the other way around. And these are youth, these are kids, these are kids' lives that are, and we're implementing policies that is beyond harmful to allowing them to be kids. And it's, you know, they just passed again in Florida, and I'm very hopeful know that our Governor Evers would not allow these to become law. He's made it very clear that he sees trans youth, that he stands by them. But it is for state legislatures where you know, it is a majority one party or another, this has not been the case. And to those, you know, trans youth and our trans community that you know, please know that there are representatives who understand that that these bills are morally, fiscally, and just irresponsible and wrong, and that we see you, and that we are going to continue to fight for you. What's more, I think, disturbing too, not more, I mean, they're all horrendous and absurd, but the voter suppression bills that continue, you know, the last time I checked, there's always a winner and a loser in an election. And to know that the people who lost this time around are gonna continue to perpetuate and live and die by this idea of a lie, it's not an idea of a lie, it is a lie that the election was stolen, I think is going to have much more detrimental impact than we really can understand right now. I mean, I think it's so important to continue to amplify that this is what, like, the message is the election was fair, transparent, and secure. And what they're fighting with is not only obstructing the process for people to vote and suppressing the vote, but now they're going after how elections are administered and really trying to take away the rig a system. That already had issues in terms of allowing the majority of people to vote to make it even harder. I mean, Wisconsin, our absentee ballots are not ADA accessible. Mm-hmm. Most voting booths are also not ADA accessible. I think that, I shouldn't say the booths, but like not all of, you know, if folks don't have access to the ballot box and they get their ballot mailed to them, you know, and if you have a vision impairment or, you know, most of them aren't offered in another language, those are all, you know, that is something that my colleagues want to not only keep in place, but continue to obstruct and make sure that we don't have avenues to be able to make them accessible. And it's horrifying. I didn't know for a very long time that you know, our absentee ballots weren't ADA compliant.
Well, I mean, why would you? I mean, I feel like none of us, before last year, I don't feel like the even idea of absentee ballots, like if you've ever thought about it, it's like, oh, cause it's like, you don't live in the country right now. Like, it's just like, it's such a new.
Well, I mean, when you look at like veterans or like folks serving overseas, you know, would have military, access to about military, but you know, I was talking to someone and she was telling me that had she not had a partner who did have full vision to be able to essentially like help guide her through it. And not everyone has that, like the access and the mobility, we often don't think about the conditions that lead to what obstructs that. I think so much of the conversation that we're having now about voter suppression is often dominated by people just thinking it's, you know, just about, how you can get to the polls, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. Well, I think like it feels like this whole, you know, because it's in state houses where mm-hmm. these voter suppression laws are getting proposed, and then at the federal level, there's this monster HR1 of an 800 mm-hmm. page bill that is massive, that's been passed in the House, along with the John Lewis Voting Rights mm-hmm. Act, and which would, if, and it's a big if, but if that got passed, would squash all of this. It would just be like, and I understand, you know, I know that states' rights is like coded for racism, but I do understand mm-hmm. that there's things that are local government and versus mm-hmm. like the behemoth of federal government. But, and I'll end on this before we go to break, there's nothing more infuriating than trying to work on get out the vote campaigns, and you look at anything that is national and the amount of dates and rules that are different, that in like, it's insane of like how, like the having it for federal elections. It's like, how is it this different state to state when we're electing a president? Like, what? So I am for a little bit more standardization.
ranked choice voting and make voting a national holiday. Absolutely. And, and make sure that folks don't have to leave work or work around, you know, their schedule. We should be making voting more accessible instead of suppressing the vote. Y'all, you're listening to Sharp Elbows here on Devil's Advocate Radio. I'm State Rep Francesca Hong. Joined with me is Kristen Bry. Come back. We might talk a little sports. I hear something's going on in Packerland right now that deserves a little bit of attention. Stay tuned.